You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Robbins on the Wire, a Bristol Post podcast with Michelle Owen and Bristol City reporter Gregor McGregor.
Before we start this week's podcast, a big thank you to ELM Legal Services, who are based in Bristol and provide will writing and estate planning services across the UK. You can get a standard single will for £99. If you'd like to get in touch, call them 0800 019 4557. Hello and welcome along to Robbins on the Wire, a post-tour special. Gregor has been out in Spain with the Robbins, and by the wonders of modern technology, we're going to speak to each other now all about the tour, about how Bristol City got on. We've also got two chats with Lee Johnson, including an exclusive, almost sort of 13, 14-minute chat all about what Lee Johnson's been up to over summer, what he makes of Bristol City's pre-season, and some transfer talk as well. And Gregor has a transfer summary for us too. So, Gregor, let's start by talking about the tour matches.
So last night, obviously, Bristol City lost 1-0 to Rayo Vallecano, but they played really well in that game. They lost 1-0 with a goal coming sort of 90 seconds before the end of the match, which meant poor old Nicky Mainpar, who's on trial with the club at the moment, Finnish goalkeeper formerly of Brighton, was just literally seconds away from keeping a clean sheet, and he'll obviously be hugely disappointed with that, especially given that he's trying to earn a deal. I asked Lee Johnson after the game about what the situation is with goalkeepers, and I think we might hear something from that and talk about it a bit later on. But essentially, it sounds like Nicky is going to be offered a deal, which I think is good news because he impressed on the tour, and I'll come on to that in a bit more detail later. But yeah, last night the Robbins looked really sharp, created four or five really good opportunities in the first half, a couple in the second half, and on another day could easily have scored two or three goals against a team who, remember, are going to be facing Real Madrid and Barcelona next season. Standouts in the game, Nicholas Eliasson was superb. He carried on his pre-season form. He just kept beating the right back so many times, and he whipped in a couple of brilliant crosses on another day. If somebody had read those correctly, just been in the right place, then that's most likely a goal. There was one that almost dropped in as well. The bad news was that Matty Taylor got injured after 5 minutes, poor chap. He had a really good chance after about 90 seconds, and then a couple of minutes later he was done by a really horrible challenge from behind. And I asked again, I spoke to Lee Johnson afterwards about it, and he called it a coward's tackle. It was that bad, and I think most people agreed that it was one of those tackles that could have been a red card. Unfortunately, Matty was forced from the field of play, and I did speak to him after the game. It didn't look too bad. His right ankle was strapped up, but he wasn't hobbling too much. And then today I was actually flying back with the whole squad because we were all on the same flight, and he didn't seem to be moving around too badly then. So hopefully it's nothing too bad for him. In terms of the other game, RB Licenze on Tuesday night, well, you might have seen from my social media, but I only caught half the game because my flight was delayed by blooming 5 hours, so I turned up late for that one. But what I did see was Rory Holden put in a really great assist for Famara Jeju to score. He obviously got two more goals in the game, and he's looking really sharp. Such a shame he's missing for the first six games. And Lee Johnson after the game said it was a good workout. He was disappointed with the final 10 minutes when the Robbins conceded twice late on. But yes, it's only pre-season, isn't it? And another good workout.
Yeah, you can see some of the photos. I think if you look on Bristol City's Twitter, there's been some stunning backdrops to this tour, that's for sure. And they all look like they're having a very good workout, as you say. And you spoke to Lee Johnson after the match, so let's hear that chat post-match after Rayo Vallecano.
So, cruel finish, but it's only a pre-season game.
I want to win. I definitely want to win. I want to win all the games. I want to win a game of tiddlywinks. But it's definitely not good for my zen to fly off the handle at this stage. I thought it was a really good game. Again, really good performances out there. You can see some are at higher levels than others due to various, like, whatever, niggles, injuries, not quite getting the minutes that the others have had. And it's a little bit mix and match at the moment, but some really good performances again today. And it's been a fantastic week. It's ticked all the boxes. We've bonded. We've played some good football. We've worked very, very hard. And I've really enjoyed it. Great facility, and definitely come back again.
Was it a bit of a naughty tackle, that on Matty Taylor in the first couple
of
minutes?
I thought it was a coward's tackle, to be honest, because I think Matty had wriggled past him a couple of times, and I thought the fellow was lazy in his defending, and he's just nobbled him. And a bit of a cat, like in a pre-season one, it's a coward's tackle, because the likely it is you're not going to get sent off, whereas in a normal game you'd have probably gone for that.
Young referee as well, maybe didn't help, but... anyway, Nicholas Eliasson, though, he was outstanding, wasn't he, at times?
Yeah, he's doing really well. Like, I'm really happy for him because he's got such a consistency of personality and attitude and character, and we believe in him, you know, and now's his time. We've got a lot of competition in those wide areas, but sometimes those opportunities arise just to, and it's like parts like the Red Sea, to go and take your chance, and at the moment, all sort of eyes point to him getting his chance.
You must be really pleased with that first half, because they created so many chances, didn't they? Packy hitting the side netting, Jeju as well hitting the side netting.
Yeah. I thought it was excellent, yeah. And like I say, you're against a good side, yeah. You're against a side that's just got promoted into La Liga, so you can see the quality that they had as well, particularly in the second half. And I thought we coped really well. Technically, tactically, we was bang on point against them. I think they've got that little wriggle probably that we could maybe improve, and maybe that will catch that up the last sort of 10 days of pre-season. But like I say, as a general rule, result aside, really pleased with the work that's gone on both in this game and the whole week.
So that was Lee Johnson there speaking to Gregor after the game against Rayo Vallecano when they lost 1-0 in the last few minutes. But as Lee Johnson and Gregor said, they're only a pre-season friendly, lots of positives to take, and Gregor managed to grab quite a sizable amount of time with Lee Johnson while out there in Spain. And here's what happened when he sat down with the Bristol City head coach.
Hi Lee, so just starting off then, how did you spend your summer?
Oh, working, mate. I have to be honest with you, it was very, very busy. I think we felt we was at the mercy of losing maybe sort of two or three of our better players. Obviously that's happened, certainly with Bobby Reid and Aidan Flint, and naturally there's an anxiety there to make sure that you can go and produce the goods next season. So as a football club, obviously we have our goals and our aims to work towards sustainability as a football club. At the moment we've got Steve Lansdowne family that are obviously huge benefactors to the club, and I mean the more quality work we can do behind the scenes should be able to reduce the output. Therefore, if Steve got hit by a bus, then the club could still be sustainable at a very elite level, and they're the type of decisions that we make. And a lot of young players coming through, huge amount of assets on the books, and probably a slight change of tact this summer of our recruitment drive. It's slightly more ready-made than maybe it has been in previous windows.
Did you get any time to switch off at all, or not really?
I had a trip to Dubai with my wife, my little girl, and about 16 family and friends. And I think I had 3 days where I turned the phone off. That was it.
Just 3 days, right. But you also played...
I'm knackered. I need another holiday.
After this one, yeah. I believe you played in the Dean Francis Memorial game as well. How did you get on that? Did you score another goal like we saw in the charity game at Ashton Gate?
No, I didn't actually. It was a good game. It was nice. I think it wasn't a great time to put it on, because it was about an hour before the England game. That was what made me a little bit sad, because I think quite a few more people would have gone. But it was a nice day, it was lovely people, it was for a really good cause. Enables me to have a run around, mate, and you know what I mean? Get rid of some of that all-inclusive Dubai.
There was a bit of a burst of pace, wasn't there, for that goal that you scored at Ashton Gate, I think we saw. Where did that come from?
I don't know, actually. I've been doing quite a lot of gym stuff, like with lower leg power and stuff. I like to guinea pig on myself now for the players, and I wasn't the quickest at all, so it was nice. Very rare that change of pace comes, but didn't last long, but it was there.
The World Cup, did you get to watch any of it at all, or
didn't watch? I watched about four games. I'll be honest, my time was spent watching targets, transfer targets. You know, you want to make sure that you know everything about them, and it's important. You know, those, are they going to work in the squad? Is their personality right? You know what I mean, you've got to remember, for every one that gets through, probably three or four fall away, and maybe five or six are deemed not good enough to play the actual style that you want. So in any one transfer, you probably had to rule out at least eight or nine, and that takes an awful lot of work. Obviously, don't get me wrong, we've got a fantastic recruitment team behind the scenes, and we're getting to the point now where it starts, the options are starting to get presented back to me, which is the way it should work, rather than obviously me going in with the options.
Brilliant. Just stick on the World Cup theme for a second. I just wanted to ask you about Gareth Southgate, and obviously he's had a great summer, and you're obviously a young English coach. Do you think Gareth has struck a blow almost for English coaches who maybe don't have the best reputation in terms of globally? This summer we've got obviously Eddie Howe coming to Ashton Gate on Friday, and yourself is probably up there as well. What do you make of Southgate and how he's done?
I think he's done brilliant. I think the whole England set up, I want to start with Dan Ashworth really, because I think if you look at when he came in and what he tried to do, what he tried to implement, and the DNA of the players coming through, and that's really come to fruition now. We've had World Cup wins in youth age groups all over the place, and a very successful senior World Cup now. I think Gareth Southgate was brilliant. I think he was brave with his tactics, he was brave with his selection, sort of on youth and unfashionable players, if you like. Maybe players, not unfashionable because they're all top players, but maybe players ruling out bigger names in certain positions. And I think the biggest thing for me was the way he went about it, in terms of humility, personality and professionalism. And I hope it does, because there's been some, I don't like it when I see the foreign coaches, the English coaches going abroad. Like, you want them to do well. You know what I mean? My dad went abroad and done well with Latvia, and obviously he wasn't a big name, certainly at that point. But like people like Gary Neville goes out to Valencia and it almost mocks the English coaches. You know, I'm still learning all the time, and so is my dad. And I've had 250, 60 games, and he's had probably nearly 1,000. So. You're always learning as a coach. It's brilliant to come away to environments like this, because you get to experience a different way of coaching, the environment, the atmosphere, the heat, the pitches, the opposition that you play against. And again, you just try and learn as much as possible.
Just going back to what you were saying before about losing Bobby Reid and Aidan Flint in the summer, was losing Bobby a particular blow to you personally? Because he's a player you've worked with a lot. You helped develop hugely last summer by changing his position slightly. How do you feel on that now?
Yeah, naturally you're sad to see him go. You know, you build a rapport with these boys, and it was a big decision to turn Bobby from a centre midfielder to a striker, you know, and one that could have really ended up with egg on my face, if you like, and actually egg on Bobby's face. So it needed commitment from both coach and player to dive into it. And I think that only goes to show the championship now. Do you know what I mean? Bobby's like had one outstanding season as a striker, scored 21 goals, and he's gone for north of 10 million. So like, when you look at it, like, it's amazing really, because the young players that we've got, if one can like grip, hold and do really well, that could happen. Again, you could change positions. Andy Vyman could score 20 goals next year, Famara, whatever, and that's what I talk about, the asset sheet. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you want to sell those players, because I personally didn't want to sell Bobby, but it was the right thing to do, so I'm not going to come out. Nobody wanted to see Bobby go, but it was the right thing to do for the football club. You know, I'm not going to throw my toys out the pram. I'm going to show a good attitude and work directly with the ownership and the board to try and make the parts of the team better.
Are you getting fed up at all of having to produce another 20-goal striker each summer?
Well, you do have to. Do you know, I've had to do that all my career. I had to do it every club I've been at. I've had to pull one out of that. So converted Forte at Oldham from a winger into a striker. He scored, I think, 19, 20 goals that year. Done it with, obviously, Bobby Reid. Codger scored 20 goals in the season there, which was good. And we'll do it again, for sure. Tammy Abraham was another, effectively a rabbit out of the hat because he was unproven. And we have to do it again. But to be honest, it doesn't really mean that you haven't got to have a 20-goal-a-year striker to be successful. You've got to have people scoring. So if I get 5 from the fullback and 6 from the centre-half and 8 from the midfielder and 10 from the striker, that'll be enough to go and be successful as well.
I just told Fam that I've put a 10 on him to be top scorer in the Championship next season, even missing those games. So we'll keep an eye on
that. Well, he's come back absolutely flying. He really has. I think he'd be better next season even than he was last season. I thought he was good last season, but he's now had a full season in the Championship. He understands the relentless nature of it. He understands our style. He's integrated into the country, and he's adapted really, really well because he's a good character.
What's the latest on Joe Bryan? Because he's another player who I believe has only got a year left on his contract. There was speculation across the summer about his future. He was mentioned sort of with Bobby at the beginning of the summer as a key Bristol City player. Is there any chance that the club can get him to sign a new deal and keep him?
Well, I hope so. Like, obviously, we're trying really hard to do that. Like I said before, there's a lot of different agendas in a potential transfer or a potential signing. What I mean is the agents take into account, there's a wage structure, there's a potential other club that want to buy the player, and so many factors that go into it. And of course, that's forgetting even the player that naturally wants to play as high as he can, as long as he can. So we're all the same as players, and probably loyalty is not quite the same as it used to be back in the day, because there was probably 50 quid discrepancy between the wages, and now it can be 5-6 times and life-changing type finances that any person in any walk of life would change job or company if they had that opportunity. But at the moment, we feel with the clubs that would be in for Joe, we will be very competitive, if you know what I mean, at the moment. Inevitably, it'll be down to Joe. If Joe wants to knuckle down and sign, I think his form suffered towards the end of last season. We've had a lot of conversations, and that's not me putting Joe Bryan down. Like, everybody knows I love him to bits. I coached him since he was 14 years old and played him every game, and his dad done my dad's heart surgery, so there's definitely invested interest in the Bryans, Joe Bryan, the Bryan family, doing well. But I have to do a job for my football club, and that is to re-sign Joe Bryan. And if we can't re-sign Joe Bryan, it's to replace Joe Bryan for the money that we would undoubtedly receive.
You're not worried that he's going into the last year of his deal? Is nothing to be done, is it?
It depends how you look at worry. You know what I mean? Am I worried? Well, no, it's football. You know what I mean? It's happened 100 times to us before, and it'll happen 100 times in the future. I think that the cup run and the exposure that a lot of our players got from last year may have had a bit of a negative effect in terms of their star is shining very bright, if you know what I mean. So,
Lee, what's your opinion on the transfer market this summer in terms of the prices and things we've seen of players? I just want to take you back to the beginning of the summer. I think you mentioned Jack Marriott, for example, being touted around for £5 million. And I believe Dara McAntony on Twitter has said that you're a fan of his, for example. What's your opinion of these kind of things?
Well, I suppose the market sets valuation, doesn't it? I think like Jack Marriott's a good example, one of the best strikers in League One, Peterborough's player, and of course they have a right to drive the market or to keep him in, just like we do with Joe Bryan. But it doesn't mean that player in particular fits the philosophy. I mean, one club he'll work for, another club he won't. Obviously, you look at the balance of the strikers that you've already got, and you weigh it up. Are they proven? Is it a punt? What's the figure? Do you know what I mean? When I say a punt really is anybody that you haven't seen perform consistently in that division or higher. and anybody else, whether it be foreign or through non-league or the academy, in my eyes, is that word that owners don't like. But it is a punt, because it's an educated punt, because there's a lot of tools to be able to work out whether those attributes will transcend into the championship. And we've seen, like, I think there'll be a couple really come to the fore this year. Like, look at Nicholas Eliasson, signs, good example. Takes time to adapt, to see how good he is in training every day, but he needs to take that into the first team games. So far, he's been one of our top performers in pre-season, and if he continues that, it'll be very difficult. If he continues that form, it'd be difficult for me to leave him out, even if I wanted to.
Just very quickly, just wanted to ask about the goalkeeper situation. We've seen Nicky over there taking part. Could he be around for a longer term?
Yeah, well, obviously we brought him here on trial for a reason. I wouldn't call it a trial because we know his qualities, but more of a trial how he integrates with the group, if he likes us, because that's as important, and if he's comfortable in the playing style. But you're almost trying to find it with any player that comes on trial. You try to find a reason not to sign him. And at the moment, I have to say, myself and my staff and the other players have been very impressed.
A lot to absorb then in that chat that Gregor had with Lee Johnson. That was after one of the training sessions on Bristol City's tour in Spain. And Gregor now is going to give us a sort of roundup of the transfer news. What we know up until now, up until this week, his thoughts on what could happen to Joe Bryan in the next couple of weeks as well, and some more on a new incoming, Gregor, potentially anyway.
Obviously, a big story over the weekend broke, which is my colleague who works for Gloucestershire Live, John Palmer, broke the story that Mo Easer, I believe his name is, he's been telling me it's Easer, apparently not Izer. Mo Easer is going to be signing for Bristol City in a deal that we believe to be worth £1.5 million. Easer had a good season last season for Cheltenham, and obviously Gary Johnson knows him very well, most likely has put in a good word with Lee. We saw him the other night in the Johnson Cup when Cheltenham took on Bristol City, and I have to say, he didn't have the most standout game then, but he didn't have the best service coming his way either. And you don't judge someone from one game, obviously. You judge them from their qualities across the season. And Bristol City obviously like what they see there. He's 24 years old. I did mention the fact originally that he might be one for the future, but I'm not so sure he is. I did ask Lee Johnson about this at the end of the Rayo Vallecano game, but he was tight-lipped. He wouldn't say anything because basically the deal hasn't been completed, and there are, from what we know, another four or five clubs in for him. So if they do sign up Easer, there's a lot of scouts out there who really rate this guy and think he's got a big future in the game. He's another player who's come from non-league, got terrific determination and character about him, and is probably set for a really bright future. So this could be a really good pickup for City. In terms of goalkeepers, then Nicky Mainpower is the guy who's on trial at the moment. I think he's probably done enough to net a deal. Frank Fielding is out at the moment, injured still. Whether they're going to bring another goalkeeper in, we'll see. There was nothing more to be said on Zach Steffen. Again, the club wouldn't be drawn on that. From what I know on that, I think that City will go back in for him after having a first bid rejected, but I don't think they'll go a whole lot higher in terms of money. And because of that, I don't see this deal coming through, unfortunately. And off the back of that, I have heard a few whispers that Alex Kearns of Fleetwood could become a more serious target for City. I don't know too much about that one myself, but it's something I'm hoping to check out and get an update on later this week. We'll see what happens there. If Bristol City signed two goalkeepers, then it could be that we see someone else go out. It might be that maybe Max O'Leary, who's just signed a new deal, goes out on loan, or maybe even that interest at the beginning of the summer in Frank Fielding materialises into something more serious, something to keep an eye on there. In terms of other incomings, then we could probably see a couple more youngsters come in, because Bristol City have this tendency to bring in a couple of youths towards the end of the window, like they did last year with Rory Holden and Tyreek Bakinson. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone like that came in. One name to maybe look out for is someone like Tom James of Yeovil Town. And in terms of outgoings, the big story is Joe Bryan. What's going to happen with him? Obviously, we've heard Lee Johnson there giving his thoughts on Joe. Yeah, for my information, I still stand by what I've been saying. What I've been told is he won't sign a new deal, which means, unfortunately, he will be sold. There's speculation this weekend that Newcastle have come in for him. If they have done, then I would say he's most likely going to be going there. I'm told that there's not a whole lot of Premier League interest in him at the moment, and I believe it's more Championship sides. The other thing I was told in relation to that is that I know that some foreign clubs are starting to take some interest in Joe and are looking at maybe trying to sign him on a pre-contract in January. But again, a lot to happen between now and then, and probably the most likely thing is, which I've been reporting for a while now, is that he'll probably be sold in the next couple of weeks. And certainly Newcastle, if they are in for him, then yeah, that looks a good destination. Let's see what happens.
Like, this Joe Bryan situation should unfold in the next couple of weeks. Of course, it's a week Saturday that Bristol City's season begins, and just a couple of weeks on Thursday when the transfer window will close. So it has to be tied up in the next couple of weeks. If not, Bristol City will have Joe Bryan's services until at least January, but we'll watch this space on that one. So the players are back. If you can see on their social media, they're back in the gym, back working hard. Gregor, what's your thoughts on the tour overall then?
What I've seen is from the training sessions is some real team bonding that's going on for the Robins at the moment. All the new players coming together and the senior players passing on tips to the younger guys. It's been great to see some of the guys like Rory Holden involved, and also Max O'Leary impressing, and other players like Connor Lemon-Hay-Evans, who's another guy actually who impressed me quite a lot in the open training session. I was watching some shooting drills that he was doing with David Coles. David Coles obviously is the goalkeeper coach, but they took all the young guys to one side and were working on their finishing, and Lemon-Hay-Evans was superb at that. Joe Morrell, again, I'm not even too sure if he counts as a youngster now because he's been out on loan at Cheltenham, but he impressed, especially in the game that I saw against RB Lecce at the end there. And yeah, so the future's bright for City. Plenty of positives from the tour. As I've been saying, two good performances in both the pre-season matches. Hopefully they can carry that on against Bournemouth. And we've seen contributions from all the new guys. And yeah, certainly from what I've seen of Adam Webster, I think he's a top talent. Jack Hunt obviously got a run out against Rayo with Andreas Wyman and Marley Watkins as well, all four of those guys involved. Haven't seen too much of Hakiba Delica, and I'm not too sure if he's got a knock, but we'll probably see something more of him soon. And yeah, basically it looks to have been a successful trip to Marbella. I mean, I have a few little reservations just because I'm not a club man, I'm an independent reporter, and I just wonder from what I see, just this is nitpicking, like whether there's enough intensity at times in the training that I've seen and pre-match stuff, but that's probably very harsh because I don't get to see enough of that kind of thing. And yeah, just trying to play devil's advocate, really, whether there's enough strength to the squad for them to achieve, for the Robins to achieve everything they want to this season. It remains to be seen whether they can sort of improve on 11th place last season. But I'm sure there's still a couple of last little bits of transfer business to do in the market before the squad's complete. So let's see how City shape up and how they get on in those first few games. I think it's going to be crucial how they cope without Famara straight away, because he has looked incredibly sharp over training. I completely agree with Lee on that one. And yeah, I think City is set for a decent season that could be a good season if everything comes together. So hopefully it will.
Indeed, hopefully it will. We'll catch up in more detail later this week. There'll be another Robins on the Wire for you to enjoy towards the weekend, as we've just reflected on the tour that Bristol City have had out in Spain. Of course, we'll bring you news of what's happening with Joe Bryan, if he's going, where he could be going, and any more transfer activity as well. As we look ahead to some more pre-season friendlies, as Bristol City wrap up this pre-season period and look ahead to the first fixture next Saturday at home at Ashton Gate when they open their campaign against Nottingham Forest. Join us later in the week for that. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review us. Thanks for listening. This podcast was sponsored by ELM Legal Services, based in Bristol, who provide will writing and estate planning services across the UK. A standard single will is £99. You can call them on 0800 019 4557.
Robins on the Wire.